Good afternoon, everyone. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Polysports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. It is Wednesday, the 16th of February, 2022. Wow. I know. This sounds so, yeah. I mean, here we were just getting through 2021, and now it's already 2022, but it's also already February 16th. I know, craziness. Anyway, we're here every Wednesday with Hank Jones, politics, polysports, politics, and sports, when they meet, when they don't, et cetera. Hanging out here in eclectic Hankland Studios. My wife and little Aussie are in the house. Yes, they are. Just got the little Aussie fed. She does her little jumping act. I think I'm going to check her vertical sometime. She's got some serious vertical. Every Wednesday, as I said, but that's not all that goes on here at Global Patriot Radio. Every Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, the Vito Esposito Show with Big Al. Tuesdays, Eric the Kaffir is in with the Cross and the Crescent discussion. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. That's at 6 o'clock Eastern also, as is Eric's show. And then Fridays, usually noon, sometimes 11 a.m. Eastern time, Andrew Herod is in with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturdays, 10 p.m., Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sundays, 3 p.m. Eastern time, Eric is back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. All times Eastern, by the way, all times Eastern. You know, if you ever, you know, if you want to interact with me off show, you can email me, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You know, can also go to Facebook and type in Hank Jones Polysports. I have a page. I don't do much on that. I just sort of just put out what stuff's going on. I sometimes, you know, repost stuff, share, whatever. But, yeah, just go to Facebook, Hank Jones Polysports. Polysports is one word. Hank and Jones are each a word. Also on Twitter, at HPolysports. That's where I'm always, I mean, that's the one place I remember to put up show info. So, and again, I, you know, I usually retweet. I'll send, you know, sometimes find things and share them. But for the most part, it's a matter of retweeting. It's really good to hear what other people are, or see what other people are saying and thinking and whatnot. And then, of course, the best ways, you can come into the show live in the chat room, log on to Global Patriot or blogtalkradio.com, go to live, look for Global Patriot Radio, and then click on it, and you'll see who's in the chat room right now, Indy Hawk, and, of course, myself. You can also call in at 319-527-6706. It's where I am right now. Hawkeye Mike is listening, as is my big sister, and Sue from New Mexico. So you can do it either way. You can come in through blogtalkradio.com and look for live and Global Patriot Radio, or you can dial 319-527-6706. Little word of caution. If you call and there's no show going on, it just gives you a message telling you the show's not on yet. So no, you can't leave messages. You can't do stupid stuff. You can also come into the chat room now. Not only is Indy Hawk in, Holger is in the chat room. So, you know, these guys are going to be giving you pearls for the next couple hours. I mean, I give you good stuff, but these folks, they bring it. Let's just say that. Let's get to the obituaries. Why not? Jim Angle passed away last Wednesday, age 75. He was one of the originals on Fox News Channel. He also had stops at NPR and ABC News. But, yeah, he was recruited to Fox News in 1996 by Britt Hume. Yeah, at that time, he was covering Bob Dole's campaign, if I remember correctly. He also covered the impeachment of Clinton, a lot of his international visits. He also covered the 2000 presidential recount. He eventually became their chief Washington correspondent and later their chief national correspondent. He retired from there in 2014. God, I didn't even realize that. No cause was given, but he was 75. Thursday, we lost two Brits. Owen Moran, who was the bassist of the new wave band Cook Da Books, passed away at 62. And then we also lost Scottish lawn bowler Elizabeth Dixon, for whom no age was listed. No cause was listed in either case, nor do we have the actual dates. Both were listed as death announced on this date. So I'm just going to give a little heads up. You know, if you're going to go to the trouble of announcing a death, please have the common courtesy to respect the public's curiosity by listing the age, the cause, and the manner. I mean, okay, I get it. It does us no good if you want to respect the family's privacy. I mean, at this point, what's to respect sometimes? You know, we need to know, such as it is. Friday, we lost two centenarians, I believe they're called. First, we lost a Taiwanese film director and writer and producer, Chen Wenmin. She passed away in Hawaii. She was 102. And then later on, we lost Italian writer and translator and screenwriter, Franca Canconi. I wish Vito was in the chat room. I could ask how you pronounce it. Canconi or Canconi, C-A-N-C-O-G-N-I, 101. Saturday, we lost Sandinista guerrilla and military leader Hugo Torres Jimenez at age 73. He was a pal of Daniel Ortega right up until he wasn't. He left Ortega's posse to he left Ortega's posse because he joined the Sandinista renovation movement, which later became the Democratic Renewal Union. He was arrested as part of an Ortega sweep in June of last year, and he died in prison last Saturday. Shortly before his arrest, he had stated that the Ortega regime was worse than the Somoza regime, which Jimenez had helped to overthrow in 1979. That day, we also lost Estonian mathematician Ulo Lepik at the age of 100 and Cuban-born American artist Carmen Herrera at age 106. But this is really the most sad one. Ivan Reitman, director, producer, screenwriter. He considered himself a conservative / libertarian, and he directed such flicks as Meatballs. Now you're saying, Hank, Meatballs? I actually like that movie. Stripes, what's not to love, Ghostbusters and its sequel, Dave, and also Kindergarten Cop. And then he was also one of the producers on one of the all-time great comedy films, National Lampoon's Animal House. Ivan Reitman was 75. He died in his sleep. No cause listed. 75 years old. He also did work. He worked as a tag team with Harold Ramis, the late great Harold Ramis, who Hawkeye Mike and I used to remember on SCTV. Also did his time in Ghostbusters. Two greats, man. Two of the all-time greats in the world of comedy. And when I say comedy, I don't mean stand-up. I'm talking about comedic writing, producing, and in some cases, acting. Sunday, we lost New Orleans musician King Louis Bankston. Among other groups, he was in The Exploding Hearts. Good name for a group. The Exploding Hearts. Anyway, he was 49. Again, no cause disclosed. You know, that just, I don't know. I got a bone to pick about that stuff. Of course, when it's my time, I hope they just either say everything or nothing. Just like, Hank Jones died, we think. My wife says she can make that happen. Not cool. Yesterday, we lost humorist P.J. O'Rourke to lung cancer at age 74. He was sort of viewed as a libertarian satirist. He wrote for everything from National Lampoon, Atlantic Monthly, American Spectator, to the Weekly Standard and the Daily Beast. He showed up as a panelist on NPR on occasion. Wrote 16 books. Three of them made the New York Times bestseller list. I'm not sure if that's good or bad. So that's who passed away this past week that was of any import to me or of anyone I thought was any great consequence. And the others were great losses too, but these are the highlights, if you will, to news. So Dopey Joe, is attempting to buy federal workers. How? Why, with a 4.6% pay increase in his next proposed budget. Now, worse than that, the executive branch workers already got a 2.7% increase last month by default because Congress took no action. This, of course, is beyond absurd. I mean, bottom line, we simply can't afford these people now. How are we supposed to afford an increase? I mean, yeah, the country's getting more messed up by the hour, not by the month, not by the week, not even the day, but the hour, by the hour. But here's the scary part. Like congressional pay increases and that executive branch pay increase, Congress not doing anything results in the increase. In other words, the increase is automatic unless Congress goes in and objects. You know, during COVID, we closed down business activity. People lost jobs. Now, Congress passed measures to give businesses money to pay workers for a period of time under the PPP loans, under the CARES Act. Well, I'm not saying that was a bad thing. I'm also saying it wasn't a good thing. I'll tell you why. On top of that, we gave people unemployment plus supplemental unemployment beyond what most workers were earning. Not all, of course, but most. But then we kept businesses closed, or we allowed them to operate on a minimal or much reduced scale. We kept paying unemployment. But then with PPP, paycheck protection, whatever provision, some employees cried foul when they either had to go back to work at their normal rate of pay or refuse the offer, but give up their cushy unemployment. Now, there were actually workers. I put that in quotes because in this case, workers weren't laboring. They were just working the system. There were workers that actually filed complaints against employers who received PPP loans in order to bring people back to work on whatever basis they could. Guess who didn't lose jobs? Or at least didn't lose income. That's right. Federal workers, state workers, teachers, garbage haulers, utility workers. Yeah, in other words, pretty much anyone working for a government entity or a protected utility or a government service worker. Look, fine. They work too, and they need to put food on the table too, obviously. We also cut off landlords. Yeah, that's right. If you owned property and had a tenant that said they couldn't pay rent, you couldn't evict them. You still had to maintain your property. You still had to replace light bulbs, fix plumbing leaks, fix holes in the driveway or the fence, or make sure the washer and dryer and dishwasher and heater and air conditioning worked. I mean, too bad, too sad, you know. In fact, while I'm not sure, I do think some of these moratoriums or evictions or whatever, student loans, are just now expiring. Do you think landlords will be able to collect all that back rent? Do you think the state or federal worker down at the housing authority is going to side with the landlord? Yeah, probably not. So, Dopey Joe, screw you. Screw your use of our money to buy workers to your agenda. Screw your budget. Most of all, screw whatever phonied up results your staff makes up for a cognitive test, you jackwagon. Speaking of, let me tell you about an even bigger jackwagon. So, this guy, I can't decide whether to give his name or not. I mean, you know, it's one of those don't give him the attention. So this guy was a former Stop the Steal supporter. He did an interview last week with CNN's L. Reeve on Aaron Burnett Out Front. So, I mean, you can imagine. He spoke out about how deeply he became deeply devoted to the movement that spread. Here's how the story reads: that spread lies about the 2020 election, culminating in the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol. So he was there that day. He did not take part in the attack. He said, January 6, 2021 was the greatest day of my life. I felt like a patriot that was standing beside our founding fathers, speaking up against King George. I felt like Braveheart. But he said the violence that ensued that day also caused him to reflect. He says, after January 6th, I came here and I kept mumbling, I feel like I just got out of a cult. I feel like I just got out of a cult. He said he spent 9 months living out of his car, or no, he didn't say nine, just spent months living out of his car, attending as many rallies as he could, despite never having even been to a Trump rally leading up to the election. He said, if something was posted saying that there was a rally, like, I was not in control. I was going no matter what. How did I get caught up in this? I'd never been to a Trump rally. You know, I wasn't one of those people. He said the people that were giving evidence of election fraud, it was the same message that we had heard a day before or weeks before, but it was like, it's coming. It's going to be revealed. Like, just it just kept us holding our breath. They created a grassroots movement that was Stop the Steal. I realized I had become addicted to politics. I just can't even go on anymore with this jackwagon. I mean, they're literally starting to bring that stuff out. Hey, Boyd, how's it going? That's the Alaskan that just joined into the chat room in there with Holger and Indy. So this guy, like, I was in a cult. I regret being there. I mean, if they're really going to start bringing people out for that, man, how sad is our media? Our media, what the hell am I saying? So this competing for another country thing in the Olympics, it's not as easy as you think, allegedly. You're supposed to hold a passport for your country that you're competing for. And, of course, many countries don't allow someone to hold two passports. Theoretically, to renounce U.S. citizenship, and by the way, very few renunciations occur on continental U.S. soil, you have to go to a consular office, give up your passport, sign some declarations, and, oh, yeah, pay a $2,350 fee. You're required to file a final tax return, which could be of significant economic impact because, like, worldwide assets that you hold, you have to declare their value and create a sale and then pay the tax on that. Now, the Federal Register publishes a quarterly list of people who have renounced citizenship. None of the athletes who hail from the U.S. appear on that list. So in the end, sure, you're, quote, supposed to have a passport from the country you compete for, and most countries don't allow multiple passports. Then again, do you really believe Big Left would let certain other implications of that go into effect? You know, like no more voting. Yeah. No more availing the services of the U.S. Embassy. So let's quickly read you this little section of it because I thought it was quite funny how they, I mean, let's just put it this way. Big Left is not about to, okay. It says, you go there and a consular officer will give you some pushback because of the repercussions. If you have family in the United States you need access to, by giving up your U.S. passport, you are essentially making it very difficult to get back into the United States. Really? Really? You're really making it difficult, huh? Yeah, other than coming through Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Nevada, wherever, any place that touches, you know, down there. But other than that, very difficult, very difficult. Verbally renouncing citizenship as an act of protest or defiance may carry some symbolic weight to the demonstrator, but in the eyes of the United States government, there's no legal weight behind it. It's like I say, it becomes a comedy number. So again, I ask you, do you really think Big Left wants to give up those voters I mean, those are the same people like LeJuan James, who, let's face it, LeJuan holds more allegiance to the Red China than he does to the United States. So do you really think Big Left would let potential votes leave the United States? Are you more in the camp of this is all a farce, they never renounce citizenship? Or the camp of it's temporary, they get right back on the rolls? Or does it not even matter to Big Left? They simply harvest anyone and everyone. Remember, one of Big Left's mottos, unofficial, but I, you know, it's better to get a vote from a dead dissident than to count on a live, rational voter. I just made that up. I think it's pretty funny. Okay. Just how dumb does Beto O'Rourke think voters are? And how disingenuous is he willing to be? How far is he willing to go? In his previous campaigns for Senate and the presidency, he's flip-flopped on everything from minimum wage and now to gun control. His latest is on gun control. Now, you probably remember him saying, hell yes, when he was asked if he, as the president, would take our AR-15s, quote, or other assault weapons. Let's get past whether or not the AR-15 is an assault weapon for a second. It's really simple. It's not. Pretty much by any definition, save for the fantasy world in which Big Left can classify weapons based on who owns them. Here's an example. If Hawkeye Mike owns a Remington 870 shotgun with, say, an extended barrel for goose hunting, cool. One day he decides to remove it in favor of a standard 26-inch barrel to go dove hunting with his buddy Hank, who is an avowed dove hunting fan. You know what that means to Big Left? That means it's a sawed-off shotgun. Now, if John Kerry does it, of course, he's a gentleman sporting shooter. Now, when Hawkeye Mike detaches the 26-inch barrel to put on the 20-inch rifled barrel to go deer hunting and use slugs, what then? Well, technically, at least to Big Left, that's an assault weapon. Now, to ask what it is when John Kerry does it is a trick question. Why? John Kerry would never do a photo op shooting Bambi. That's why. So the AR-15, okay, it comes in different styles and configurations. It can use standard or extended magazines. It comes in multiple finishes. But you know what? Can't be fired in auto. Has no capacity to do that unless it's issued by our military, which is not called an AR-15. You know what else? Despite big media and big gun grab and Big Left all saying AR stands for assault rifle, even after almost 70 years of being corrected, AR does not stand for assault rifle. It stands for Armalite rifle, after the company that originally made it. It's actually based on the Colt AR-15 design version after Colt purchased the patents and the trademarks back before I was even born. Now, anyway, Beto has said, you know, he said the hell yes line, and he's also said, we should not have military-style weapons used against our fellow Texans. Guess what that means? Means he knows it isn't military issue or military grade. Now, what is Beto now saying? He told reporters in Tyler, Texas. That doesn't really ever sound good unless it was said by Keith Jackson. Tyler, the big 6'2", sophomore out of Tyler, Texas. Anyway, I'm not interested. He said, I'm not interested in taking anything from anyone. What I want to make sure that we do is defend the Second Amendment. I want to make sure that we protect our fellow Texans far better than we're doing right now. Yeah, I'm going to have to mute myself so I don't puke on the mic. This comes just months after some of those earlier statements, some of which he also had calls for mandatory buyback programs of AR-15s. Now, people of Texas, please don't be stupid. Please, if you're in any mindset that you could vote for this guy, please consider all of this guy's statements, past and present. Please understand that this guy has zero interest in protecting you and no interest in letting you protect yourself. If he was truly interested, here are some things he would actually say. He might say something like, the Second Amendment is clear. We'll have a right to keep and bear arms, and it was brilliance from our founding fathers. He was interested, that's what he would say, if he was truly interested in you protecting you. He might say something like, responsible gun ownership can aid in defending yourself and your neighbors and even play a role in procuring food for your family. A as well as the hungry in our communities. That's something he might say if he was truly interested. He might say something, given today's political and social atmosphere, firearms can be a successful and worthwhile deterrent to escalating crime and violence. He might say that if he truly believed in defending the Second Amendment. And if he was truly interested, here's what he would actually do. He would go to the border and he would call out La Dopey Nostra for the woeful deterioration of border protection. You know what else he'd do? He'd attend community town halls, and he'd promise to secure the border in the state of Texas. At those same town halls, he would probably also encourage border area residents prepared for the daily influx, including protecting themselves with firearms if necessary until the border situation is under control. That's if he was truly interested. Holdrus got to take off. By the way, Holdrus back on the air Fridays. You got to check him out. I forgot what he calls it, but just come into Blog Talk Radio anytime and look for Holdrus. Yeah, you know what else he'd do? He'd let Mexican authorities know. He would get it out to the Mexican public as well. The people of Texas do not want to be aggressive or cruel, but that it's imperative that they defend themselves and their land and their neighbors, and that crossing the border illegally may well result in confrontations involving firearms. He would call out La Dopey Nostra for its previous stance as a member of the Obama administration of sending firearms to the Mexican cartels elements and insist that a free and safe Texas takes priority over cartels and coyotes from Mexico. Yeah, just so you know, none of that is going to happen. And because it won't, people of Texas, you need to know that Beto O'Rourke has every intention of taking your guns and rendering you defenseless. Hey, great news on inflation. No, not really. Just kidding. But there is some news. First, I've renamed the term inflation. It's now called the AOC Corporation Price Gouging Index. Well, because, well, you know, that's what causes it, according to AOC. So the AOC Corporation Price Gouging Index set a 40-year high with a year-over-year increase of 7.5%, surpassed only by a 7.6% reading in 1982. The Consumer Price Index rose 0.6% from Denver. Economists were expecting increases of 7.3% and 0.5% respectively. Now, no word yet on whether or when they will rename the inflation to the AOC Corporation Price Gouging Index, but that's what it really is. Even more interesting, so-called core prices, which exclude more volatile measurements like food and energy, those rose 6% in January versus a year ago. And for December, it was 5.5%. So yeah, that increase is significant. It's the steepest since August of 1992. Here's a random question. You think the people that are going to be getting free crack pipes are going to be required to be vaccinated? Just asking, random question, like I said. The Super Bowl. Super Bowl. What can I say about the Super Bowl? First, the Rams took down the Bengals 23-20. Let's forget about the pass interference or holding or whatever it was they called late on Bengals linebacker Logan Wilson. By the way, Packers linebacker Devondre Campbell said it was a terrible call. Fox rules and replay analyst guy Mike Pereira also said it was a terrible call. Devondre Campbell probably summed it up best, though, with this. He said, people assume that a wide receiver being covered by a linebacker is an automatic mismatch, and that any time the play is unsuccessful, it's because of a defensive penalty. Never mind the fact that Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp did a massive push-off to make his cut. And that never gets called. You ever notice that? Like when a guy runs a square out or whatever, he makes his cut, he pushes off the receiver and never gets called. Suffice it to say, from the 4 hours of pregame shows to the additional hour of actual pregame to the ads to the halftime show to the actual game itself, well, like I said, what can I say? More relevant in terms of NFL news, LA County District Attorney says free agent running back Adrian Peterson won't be charged after his arrest at LA International Airport in what officials said was a domestic violence case. The case will now be sent to the Los Angeles city attorney, who could still charge him with misdemeanor domestic violence. How the hell is any domestic violence a misdemeanor when it involves a man who is 6'1" and 220 pounds knocking around his wife? How is that a misdemeanor? For her part, Adrian Peterson's wife is not pressing charges. She says all that happened was an argument where he tried to take his wife's ring off her finger, which left a scratch. Yeah, nothing to see here, folks. Just your everyday standard abuse and intimidation. Now, remember, this is the guy who caught an abuse charge in 2014 for taking a switch to his four-year-old son. Now, in defense of the NFL, God, I can't believe I'm saying that. The league did suspend him for a year on that one. And while it may not have been Ray Rice level knockout punch, I'm sorry, these are not isolated incidents. This is a pattern. He ended the 2021 season on the Seahawks injured reserve list on the practice squad, evidently, after a three-game stint with the Tennessee Titans. He said he plans to continue playing. He's fifth on the NFL all-time rushing list, 14,918 career yards. So, yeah. Elsewhere in the NFL, Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers and Chief quarterback Patrick Mahomes are the early Las Vegas favorites for the 2022 NFL MVP. Get those bets in early, folks. From college basketball, Auburn, after their four-point loss at Arkansas last week, Gonzaga is now the top team in both the AP and coaches polls. Auburn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Purdue round out the top five on the AP side. On the coaches, it's Auburn, Kentucky, Arizona, and Duke. League-wise, the Big Ten has five teams, as does the SEC. Big 12 has four in one poll. SEC has five in one poll, four in the other. Big 12 has four in both. Pac-12 has three teams. The Big East has three in one, four in the other. The ACC still has just one team in the poll, Duke. And speaking of Duke, certainly want to wish speedy recovery to Dick Vitale. He had vocal cord surgery yesterday. He seemed to be in good spirits on Twitter. Mentioned that his doctor said the surgery was tough, but he got what he needed to get. So, yeah, thoughts and prayers with Dick Vitale. Guys like him make the game better, better viewing, and just better overall. So, Dopey Joe's nominee for vice chair for supervision at the Federal Reserve. Her name is Sarah Bloom Raskin. Well, she's certainly unhinged. And no, we should have no warm, fuzzy feelings on this one. Why? Because she is nuts. Here are a couple of beauties from this lady. She said, the Fed must shut down oil companies to stop unlivably hot planet. Yeah. The Fed must shut down oil companies to stop an unlivably hot planet. Staff report, in her own words, reimagining financial regulation to save us from an unlivably hot planet. She would use her role as vice chair for supervision, basically to abuse what the Fed is supposed to do. Jerome Powell, in his 2022 January nomination hearing, said that physical risk in the form of extreme weather doesn't seem likely in the near term. He went on to say that real risk would be transition risk caused by government policy, not weather events. Now, not Sarah Bloom Raskin. No, sirree, no ma'am. She says whether federal regulatory authorities should use their considerable power to discourage private banks from lending money to oil and gas company. Yeah, well, Lael Brainard, who's a climate enthusiast, said no. Even Lael Brainard. She said the Senate should consider a nominee's prior statements, this is Ms. Raskin, in light of economic conditions. She says, I'll tell you what I think. The Senate should look for, in looking at both them, I think they're going to want to look at some of the prior statements that have been said. You know, She must be Jen Psaki's sister. You know, if a nominee wants to abolish the Federal Reserve, if a nominee wants to return us to a gold standard, if a nominee feels that tax cuts have long and sustained benefits for the economy, all of those kinds of prior statements, I think are fair game for the Senate to look at. Oh, yeah, basic economic policy. Yeah, we should really call people out on that. She said, with inflation at 40-year high and gas prices up 50% over last year, it is only appropriate that the Senate consider her prior statements. Oh, my God. Pat Toomey, representative or Republican from Pennsylvania, senator, he says it should be left up to climate change stuff should be left up to elected officials who are accountable to voters, not unelected Fed governors. He said Sarah Bloom Raskin, her candidacy as the vice chair for supervision, in some ways, it's a referendum on the idea of whether or not the Fed should do the legislative work of Congress and whether the Fed should be empowered to engage in policy decisions that have nothing to do with their mandate. Thank you. Yeah, this is real simple. Deceptively simple. The Federal Reserve sets monetary policy based on economic conditions, based on market conditions, etc. Not climate, not firearms manufacturers, not college athletes, not diversity, equity, and inclusion, not Joe Rogan or Neil Young. Other than monetary policy, what should the Fed be doing? Nothing. That's it. One word, two syllables. Nothing. So the beating of Roseanne Boyland on January 6th of 2021 was deemed objectively reasonable by the Internal Affairs Bureau of the Metro DC Police Department. This leaves me with one question, given the audio and video we now have out there. What the hell is objectively reasonable? I'm going to give their medical examiner credit on this one. They didn't call it a COVID death. Well, still rank on them for the cause they did cite. An accidental overdose of Adderall. I mean, yeah, I guess the stick beating wasn't relevant. Oh, yeah, and like the shooter of Ashley Babbitt, big media has completely ignored until now, until it was brought out, the identity of the officer seen beating Ms. Boylan with a stick. By the way, her name is Lila Morris. Yeah, this is the time when we need to scream at police departments. When this happens at actual riots, you know, with bricks, looting, guns, and weapons being used, etc. Big Left calls for defunding the police, crucifying anyone and anything conservative, and of course, abolishing the Electoral College. Why did I throw that in? You got to throw that in. Abolishing the Electoral College and voting rights, of course. Don't forget voting rights. Anyway, this has now happened to two people, at least, supporting a Republican candidate over questionable election shenanigans. Nobody was carrying a gun. Believe me, we would have heard about it. Nobody was carrying weapons. Again, believe me, we would have heard about it. Yes, people broke some windows. People went into rooms and offices where they didn't belong. Guess what, folks? That's why we have arrests and holding cells and arraignments. In this country, we don't hold people indefinitely. We don't beat unarmed people. We don't ignore someone in a health crisis, as Ms. Boylan was in. Whether they were trespassing or not, we don't ignore someone who's having a health crisis. Yes, they are saying insurrection. Folks, an insurrection doesn't involve unarmed people. And if you think they were armed, then the Capitol Police and others who opened the damn doors would not have done so. It's really simple. This was a protest. Some people went overboard. But now we know of at least two deaths that came at the hands of police officers. And in both cases, the media, for as long as they could, withheld the identity of those officers. How soon do you think we'd have known the officers, the identity of the officers, if it was a George Floyd protest? At what point is media a responsible, impartial entity? And at what point do we say it crosses the line? And that the collective media are acting as accomplices people, we have to stop accepting this. We have to. We have to stop taking media at its word, of course. But what we really need to do is march on media establishments. Same way rioters and protesters march on retail establishments and restaurants. We're dangerously, I mean dangerously close to the point where we are going to have to be the ones that throw bricks and fire the shots. No, we don't do those kinds of things haphazardly. But if we're going to take this country back or return it to some sense of normalcy, it will have to involve force and physical confrontation. Why? Why do I say that? Because Big Left, first of all, will weaponize the police against us. In spite of the fact they call for defunding, they will weaponize the police against us. They will weaponize the military. Hell, they've already weaponized the police, especially in Democrat-run cities. They already weaponize agencies, the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the EPA. It's time we recognize it, acknowledge it, and stop the crap with, boy, they're getting close. Yeah, go on Twitter or Facebook. They're getting close. This is borderline. No, they're doing it. They're not close. They have obliterated the proverbial line in the sand. You remember that jack wagon of a president, Barack Obama, said there was a line in the sand? Countries like Syria continually crossed it. When he weaponized federal agencies against our citizens, no, it won't be enough to impeach Dopey Joe or to 25 him if the GOP recaptures the House and Senate. They need to go after people like Pelosi and Schumer and Nadler and Schiff and, yes, Barack Obama. The Dems are running all these schemes to, quote, make sure Trump never holds office again. They're literally making stuff up as they go along, whether it's the Russia hoax, the two manufactured impeachments, harassment of Trump administration officials. They have literally made stuff up with each fake offense or fake scandal. Take the scourge of Barack Obama. Make sure it's eliminated from all levels of government. His wife, his daughters, his cronies, his henchmen. We must make sure that Nancy Pelosi and Upchuck Schumer never again see the inside of a building in D.C. Unless it's a courtroom or a jail cell. Okay, I guess we need to keep AOC around for the entertainment. Also to alert us when corporation price gouging is just around the corner. But the others, man, we've got to get rid of these. Our country and its halls of power, we must rid this country and its halls of power of these people. They're dangerous. They're evil. They're greedy. And worse, they're reckless. I mean, they're reckless. They don't even take measured approach anymore. I mean, we cannot survive as a country much longer with this element anywhere near our governmental quote-unquote infrastructure, if you will. We simply can't. We cannot survive it. So, yeah, our survival instincts must be engaged and heightened. I mean, like, don't just vote. Encourage others. Don't just show up to cast your ballot. Stick around. Observe. If necessary, call attention to improper activities. Call people out by name. Call people out by their office. Most of all, we got to make them accountable. If necessary, make them embarrassed. I mean, when people do the things we have seen from these people, they don't deserve dignity, nor do they deserve respect. They deserve neither leniency nor the benefit of the doubt. At some point, they must be voted out, but their movement must also be crushed. I mean, they have abused us, our people, and our country for far too long. So we have the autopsy report on Bob Saget. After initial releases saying no drug use or foul play, and as a lot of so-called medical experts have noted, something doesn't seem right. I get the head trauma could have come from anything, especially at his age, and frankly, his recent bout with COVID. But then again, after being vaxxed and supposedly having had COVID over a month prior, he still had it? Or just the presence of it? And it notes abrasions or scratches around his eyes. What the hell is not suspicious about that? Now, in the end, it doesn't really matter. Unless, of course, he was attacked and they have no idea of the who, what, when, where, why, how. Or maybe it was a hotel employee and they're covering it up. Who knows? Hard to believe. Texted with his wife before going to sleep. But we really haven't heard how long he might have been dead, apparently. Again, though, it doesn't really matter. His children have lost a father. His wife has lost a husband, and many in Hollyweird, if you will, the acting community and the comedy community, they've lost a colleague and a dear friend. You know, hopefully they find comfort. You know, if there are questions and further investigation, that comes back to be nothing more than that. Now, I wrote all that and I formatted all that before his widow and his daughters filed a lawsuit against the Orange County, Florida Sheriff's Office to prevent the release of records, including photos connected to the investigation. And while it's easy to jump to conclusion and say, what's there to hide? We also need to remember it's not exactly a comfort to have this dragged around in public, even if there is nothing untoward about it. But again, really, what's there to hide? I mean, something seems off. I'm not sure what. I mean, it may just be that, you know, they just don't want to dredge it up. And if that's the case, who can blame them? But something's just weird about it. Something's off. Bill Maher had some stuff to say about Justin Trudeau. Yeah, Bill Maher. He just went after him. Basically, last Friday, his show, it's a weekly show, he called Trudeau out. Trudeau has called those truckers protesting a fringe minority and that they hold, quote, unacceptable views. Maher said this, Justin Trudeau, I thought he was kind of a cool guy. And I started to read what he said. This is a couple of weeks ago. He was, or maybe this is September, but he was talking about people who are not vaccinating. He said they don't believe in science. They're often misogynistic or often racist. No, they're not. But Justin Trudeau said they take up space. And with that, we have to make a choice in terms of the leader as a country. Do we tolerate these people? Maher said, tolerate them? Now you do sound like Hitler, talking about unacceptable views. So, there was a guy on the show earlier. I didn't watch it. I watched clips of it. A guy on there, I forgot his name, Vivek something. And he told Maher that he believes that the protests in Canada are not a left or right issue. It's about everyday citizens rising up against overreaching governments. Gee. He says, it is about something more, though. If you think it's about the vaccine mandates or about white supremacy, you're really missing the point. And this isn't a left or right issue. This is about an uprising. Because it's not just Canada. It's not just the United States. It's Western Europe. They're rising against the biggest threat to actual democracy, which is the rise of this managerial class in democracies around the world that are crushing the will of everyday people through bureaucracy. He also pointed out it's the same people who sit on corporate boards, end up as deans at universities, end up being appointed as diplomats, i.e. around the globe, not just in the U.S. And they're unelected. So they're using bureaucratic power to supplant the will of the people. Yeah, that's why he said, so that's why it's not really left or right, because in the sense you're seeing left and right unite in this effort. Darn right. Tulsi Gabbard has come up. I'm going to read a couple of her tweets later. She's on Tucker Carlson's show. And she kind of said some stuff. She said, first of all, let's not be sheep. She said, the military-industrial complex is to blame for stoking war in Ukraine. Now, you can kind of say that Putin's kind of doing that, but she's right about some of this stuff. I mean, you know, Dopey Joe is again starting to – now, supposedly they pulled back, but now they suddenly send more back over there to Ukraine. Now, look, we don't want Russia to go marching in there and take the place. But if we're going to do that, if we're going to go to other places and not defend our own border, I mean, isn't that a disconnect? Now, I don't know that, you know, I don't know I agree with her about quote-unquote warmongers. And I don't think it's necessarily just the military-industrial complex. I mean, Vladimir Putin's just, he's what he is. But war with Russia, she's saying we want war with Russia? No, we don't. I don't know anybody that does. We've never wanted it. We shouldn't ever want it. Because that's the war that no one wins and everybody loses. It's not just a matter of we walk away. Everybody loses. So, yeah, for her to say that the military-industrial complex is what's spurring it, I don't quite go with that. Although I do respect her a lot more than I used to. She's pretty sharp, and she's not an idiot about, you know, she's not just making stuff up. And some of it's her beliefs. I don't agree with all of them, but I think, though, the other side of that is, though, I should say this. As a Democrat, she makes her bones, so to speak, by being the renegade Democrat. Problem is, it works in that side of the thing. When a Liz Cheney tries to be the renegade Republican, you know, overall, no, it doesn't usually work. A newly released email confirms that Burisma, you know, that's the firm that gave Hunter Biden a lucrative position on its board, paid a $7 million bribe to the Ukrainian prosecutor's office. Also confirms that Obama's State Department knew about the bribe. When is this going to, you know, we got the Durham report now. When is all this going to end? And when are they going to do something about it? I mean, we literally know that the Hillary Clinton campaign spied on the Trump campaign, that they continued to spy after he was president. We know that the Obama State Department knew about it. We know that Obama himself probably knew about it. The FBI and probably the CIA were part of it. Now, first of all, why is Durham – I mean, maybe he's smart. Maybe he doesn't want to get Arkansas-ed, as they say. But, I mean, has anybody – have you been hearing this in regular mainstream media? No, of course not. Sort of like Hunter's laptop. But, I mean, are heads going to roll after this? I mean, you know, Comey was bad enough when he said Hillary Clinton didn't do anything that rose to the level of criminal. That was bad enough. I mean, we should have seen at that point that this guy's not a good person, James Comey, I mean. But, I mean, at what point are we going to hold him accountable? And at what point is somebody going to actually do something? Now, granted, right now the Justice Department is – you know, it's Dopey Joe's. It's part of the Dopey Nostra. Congress goes back to the GOP. Are they going to do anything about it? Are they going to get stonewalled? I don't know. Hey, is anybody going to watch the Lester Holt interview with Dopey Joe and not conclude that there is a serious problem in the White House aside from the mere existence of La Dopey Nostra? I mean, seriously, very serious here. At what point do we bring in the medical crew? You know, doctors, advisors, et cetera, and just pull the plug on this guy. I don't mean pull the plug, kill. I mean, at what point do we say this is it? I mean, New York City folks, they remember, you remember a time when Genovese family boss Vincent the Chin Gigante walked around the club in the neighborhood in a bathrobe, pretending he was deranged and demented and crazy. Dopey Joe isn't pretending, folks. You know, the law got a net over Gigante. The Gambino folks took out Paul Castellano. Sammy the Bull helped bring down John Gotti. Is there no one in La Dopey Nostra who can do, quote, a piece of work here? Somebody? I mean, anybody? Frankly, if Bruce Cutler or Albert Krieger had represented John Gotti the way Umgen has done mouthpiece duty for Dopey Joe, we'd have had two dead lawyers being scooped up outside their offices. We'd been able to fit what was left of them into a pint-sized Ziploc. Anyone in Washington with enough balls and brains do this service to the United States? I mean, geez, it's simple as this. Walk into congressional leaders' offices or the attorney general, frankly, Joe Biden's living room, and just say it. Enough is enough. That's it. Stop it. Pull the plug on this thing. I mean, this is, you know, I've said it before. You know, back when Bernie was running in both 2016 and 2020, people, you know, he would get his deranged mad scientist look. But at a certain point, it wasn't funny anymore because you could see there's something not quite right there. I mean, it's just not with Bernie Sanders. You can see that. I mean, the hypocrisy aside, there are some issues there. But holy crap, compared to Dopey Joe, Bernie Sanders is the Amazon Prime Video version of Jack Reacher. I mean, Dopey Joe is just white. There's nobody home. I've talked about this before. I've known people that were afflicted with Alzheimer's or some form of dementia, and you look and it's around the eyes. And you can see it with Dopey Joe. There's like almost like a smoothness around the eyes. There's no expression because there's nothing there that makes the frown or the whatever. I mean, you watch it when he's walking around eating his ice cream. That's not a grown-up doing a photo op ice cream. That's like a little kid cream. I mean, he's reverting back to his childlike state. And I'm not saying he's acting like a kid. I'm saying he is childlike. I'm no expert here. But if I can see it, everyone else can, because I'm not the most observant guy on the block. I mean, it's pitiful. It is pitiful. I mean, he is literally standing there eating an ice cream cone, a chocolate-covered cone, and he's walking aimlessly around. I mean, there's no purpose to his ambling and rambling. I mean, I'm shocked that Lester Holt and NBC let that thing run in its entirety. Because this guy's gone. I mean, gone, lights out, gone. There's nothing there. Now, I know they can put him on stuff. And the guy I had on last year on January 6th, my friend Rich, he talked about it, not on that show, but he talked about it with me, that, yeah, they can give him these things, peptides and things like that, and other, you know, steroids or some kind of drugs that make them alert for a while, can hold them, prop them up for, you know, a debate, that kind of thing. But there's not enough of that on the planet to keep this guy going and functioning as our president. Like I said, that's it. Somebody's got to walk in. Really should be Joe Biden. Somebody should walk into Joe Biden's living room and say, that's it, enough. Stop this. This is abuse. Your lust for power is, you know, rivals anybody, any other one we've seen, but it's enough. He's done. Moving on. Okay, I get it. I keep talking about AOC. She is comic relief around here. So here goes more AOC. Her latest, well, the recent crime wave just happens to be yet another thing she has figured out for all of us. The latest, the recent uptick in crime, of course, well, it's the expiration of the child tax credit. Now, remember, that was supposed to be a big part of Bilk Back Bigger, but that didn't pass because there aren't enough stupid and desperate people in Congress. Don't get me wrong. There are enough stupid people in Congress. There are enough desperate people in Congress. However, there aren't enough people in Congress who are both stupid and desperate to get that passed. So anyway, AOC had this to say. And it's a beaut. It is a beaut. She said she has engaged hospitals, doctors, and social workers. Anybody right out of the gate? And she was told that the surge in violence is driven by the young, mainly young men. And we allow the discourse to make it sound as though it's like the shady figures in the bush jumping out from a corner. These are young men. These are boys. We're also not discussing the mental health crisis that we are experiencing as a country as a result of the pandemic, she said. She pointed out that the child tax credit, which was seen as a lifeline to many families, expired on December 31st. And now, she says, feeling baby formula. We don't want to have that discussion. We want to say these people are criminals or we want to talk about people who are violent instead of environments of violence and what we're doing to either contribute to that or dismantle that. Okay, maybe that's not comedy. Maybe that's just pathetic. All right, I'm tired of being the only person that misses the brilliance of AOC. Seriously. I mean, she must be a genius. I mean, the media is quoting her and everything. Like, so why am I not seeing that? Oh, wait, my mistake. She's a moron. I mean, literally, we've gone from corporation price gouging being the cause of inflation to the expiration of the child tax credit being the being the root cause of the uptick in crime. First of all, as I said, she said she's talked to hospitals, doctors, whoever. Now, if you were looking, if you were doing research on crime, she said she's talked to hospitals, doctors, and social workers. If you were doing research on crime, where would you go first? Who would you go talk to first? I mean, just fire something out there. Who would you, maybe like, oh, I don't know, a police captain, a police. Maybe that would be a good one. Maybe a, I don't know, even a prosecuting attorney. Maybe go to a correctional center. Don't get me wrong. Social workers have a place, but hospitals, doctors, and social workers, if that's where you're going to check on the surge in violence. I mean, she hasn't even bring up speaking with law enforcement. I mean, who sees this stuff every day? I don't know. It's just, like I said, she's comedy, but sometimes she's not. She's sort of like, it's funny at first, and then it gets less funny with each snicker. So it's like, yeah, that's what she's like. Here's an interesting tweet from Lauren Boebert, representative, GOP rep from Colorado. She says, the U.S. is telling Americans to leave Ukraine, but ensure they have a vaccine passport and hopefully a PCR test to pass through Poland. So Russia is about to invade a country, but make sure you get your swab test first. We are living in a bizarro world. Ain't that the truth? Tulsi Gabbard, she tweeted this. The Durham investigation has shown that the biggest threat to our democracy is not some foreign country, but rather the power elite led by the likes of Hillary Clinton and her co-conspirators in the mainstream media and security state who work to undermine our democracy from within. She followed up with this a couple hours later, accompanied her link to her Fox News interview, said the Durham investigation makes clear that Hillary Clinton and the power elite spied on the Trump campaign and White House, undermining our democracy, launching us into a new Cold War, endangering America and the world. Clinton and her warmongers must be held accountable. Of course, right under that tweet, there's a short video of students at University of Nevada, Reno, marching and carrying signs. For what? Black Lives Matter? Corporation price gouging? Renewing the child tax credit? Nope. They were chanting, actually chanting, reinstate the mandate, reinstate the mandate. Yeah, after mask mandates were lifted at their little slice of hell. You know, that's yet another one you can't make up. Who walks around marching around chanting, reinstate the mandate? What kind of twisted, messed up person does that? Reinstate the mandate. Reinstate the mandate. Really? I mean, it's just absolutely bizarre. I don't know, folks. Things aren't getting any better out there, that's for sure. Things aren't getting any more normal. Like Hawkeye Mike just texted me. He said, these people actually liked the lockdowns. Well, the lazy ones did. The ones that didn't want to go to work or school, yeah, they did. No doubt. Can't argue that. But, I mean, really reinstate the mandate? Boyd points out something. If you're in the chat room, he's called the Alaskan. His name is Boyd. And he says, he's pointed out something. This is regard to AOC. Cops won't give her the answers that she wants. That's why she won't go talk to them. If she goes and talks to them, they're going to tell her the facts. And facts are not it. I'm going to take a quick break. Why? Because I'm going to fill up on some more water. I'm actually going to break out my iced coffee. So if I can't drink right while I'm doing this, so I'm going to break out some iced coffee. If you want to indulge in whatever it is you indulge, you know, coffee, tea, soda, Slurpee. You want to grab yourself a glass of wine or a beer or a shot, go for it. Hey, if you live in Colorado or Washington State or probably California or Portland, fire one up, man. It's legal. I mean, I'm not saying I endorse it, but if you're in a place where it's legal and you want to, fire one up. I don't do that myself, but go ahead, fire one up. It's legal. Do it. Be back in about 3 minutes. This, of course, is dedicated to our friends north of the border who are taking it to the streets, our trucker friends. Be right back.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we've got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Back off them hogs. 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears is wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Big Ben. Negatory, Big Ben. You're still too close. Yeah, them hogs are starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, rubber duck just sodbuster. Come on there, yeah, 10-4 sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
We got a mighty cowboy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty cowboy. Ain't he a beautiful sight? I wanna join our
Belly ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy, we're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side. We gone. Bye-bye.
Ah, yes. Convoy. Honoring our truckers to the north of us that are laying it down, as they say, laying it on the line. You know why? Because they know what's going on in Canada. Oh my God! Let's not even discuss it before I start blowing a gasket. But hey, that was for them. Yeah, Trudeau is going to use whatever. I mean, you know, they've taken money from their GoFundMe, or GoFundMe took money. They're going to try and seize accounts. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, hey, welcome Annie, Southern Sense Radio. Annie from Southern Sense is on several times during the week, but most notably Friday. When I'm at Kiwanis usually. But give her a listen. Southern Sense Radio, she's on Twitter as well. You can find her there. You can find her here on Blog Talk Radio. And she simulcasts as well, I think. And that's beyond my comprehension right now. So, hey, got some just wanted to read this quick commentary from Victor Davis Hanson before I get to my rants. I said I'm going to have some rants, but this is going to be this isn't a rant, although it kind of is, because Victor Davis Hanson is usually ranting and railing against those morons out there. And I'll just read it quickly. I'll try to get through it quick. The title is Why Ideology is the Ancient Enemy of Civilization. What ultimately destroyed the evil empires of Nazi Germany and Soviet Russia were bankrupt dogmas. Crackpot ideology destroyed free expression. It ruined meritocracy and ensured unequal application of the laws, and so paved the way for far worse. The Nazi idea of a superior Aryan race adjudicated everything from physics to tank design. Soviet commissars did the same, subordinating rational thought to communist agendas. Zealots in both systems infiltrated the universities and schools to institutionalize indoctrination. Wokeism, while not yet as lethal, is similar. Racial wokeism posits that the race and gender of the vice president or the next Supreme Court justice subordinate all other considerations. But will the current vice president and the next Supreme Court justice commensurately select their own future surgeons, airline pilots, on the same predetermined race and sex criteria? What, other than ideology, explains why rejecting nominations of African-American Judge Janice Rogers Brown in 2003 and 2005 was not racist and sexist, but blocking Joe Biden's upcoming nomination of a pre-selected African-American female would be? Why were most Antifa and Black Lives Matter criminals who looted, destroyed, and assaulted during the 120 days of summer 2020 not charged, much less tried? Why, by contrast, were the January 6th rioters or the current Canadian truckers treated disproportionately harshly by the media? Had the same rioters on January 6th been waving pride flags and BLM banners, would some of them have been sitting for a year in solitary confinement and still uncharged? Had the criminal protesters and looters of some summer 2020 been wearing red MAGA hats, would they also have mostly gotten off without charges? What would have happened had conservative demonstrators cut out a police-free MAGA zone in Seattle, like the exempted Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone? Would police have similarly left it alone and the media similarly romanticized such illegality? One of the reasons the COVID-19 lockdown and mask policies lost public confidence was their utter corruption by ideology. when thousands in June 2020 brazenly defied quarantines and what yet were excused by over 1,000 healthcare professionals claiming that woke agendas justified violating quarantine laws, then millions of Americans concluded government policy was as much about identity politics as it was saving lives. Which politicians in 2020 trashed the vaccine programs and declared they would likely not get inoculations if they were endorsed by then-President Donald Trump? If Trump is demonized as a destroyer of election legitimacy, what then are we to say of the beatified Stacey Abrams? She lost the Georgia gubernatorial race by more than 50,000 votes. Yet for years, she has maintained the voting was rigged and the elected governor is illegitimate. In 2000, who challenged for weeks the vote count, despite numerous public and private audits confirming George W. Bush's popular vote victory in Florida? Who in 2004 and 2005, for only the second time in history, challenged in Congress the Electoral College vote? In whose party were the 31 House members and one senator who forced a congressional vote in a failed effort to overturn the election? Who in 2016 ran ads for weeks after the election, beseeching the chosen electors to violate their constitutional duties, ignore their state vote tallies, and instead vote for Hillary Clinton? And who in 2016 claimed her victorious opponent was elected president illegitimately? Who bragged that she was joining the, quote, resistance to undermine his presidency? Who advised Joe Biden in 2020 not to accept the election result if he lost? If conservative zealots were ransacking American stores, carjacking innocents in the major cities, and spiking murder rates to historical highs, would the Biden administration be mobilizing law enforcement to ensure arrests, prosecutions, and incarceration? Would current city and county prosecutors continue to turn a blind eye? If anti-communist Cubans, by the millions, were illegally crashing the southern border, would they be welcomed in, as are those from Mexico and Central America? If, by 2024, a Republican president enjoys a Republican Congress, what would be the reaction to conservatives who advocated ending the filibuster? Ensuring a national voting law requiring IDs at all the polls? Voting to increase the Supreme Court to 15 justices to guarantee at least 6 new nominations for the Republican-controlled presidency in Congress? When ideology in places like castaway-state Cuba, the old Soviet Union, and Venezuela warped the application of the law, destroyed the role of merit in assessing qualifications, silenced speech, and unequally applied the law, then society unwound. In such ideological dystopias, eventually even the shelves empty comes worthless, and the nation regresses into poverty and chaos. Is that the future we await? Scarier still, ideology ensures that such chaos is heralded as success. Critics are demonized and hounded, and the obsequious state media assures the public that things are going just great. That's Victor Davis on the Epoch Times website. The guy is absolutely brilliant. I don't know if y'all read him or follow him. Victor Davis Hanson absolutely nails it. Again. I mean, Victor Davis Hanson is just, I mean, he's such an awesome read. He's on point, sees what's happening. Now, again, it's commentary. He's not advocating. He's not like I was ranting earlier saying we need to get every heat pack and punk off the street or whatever, like T.J. Hooker said. But he's just brilliant. He really is. He's a great read. Epoch Times is a great read as well. There are several ones out there. Okay, let's rant a bit. Let's talk about sports penalties and reviews. Okay, now, look, I had no dog in the fight. There were two Hawkeyes on the Bengals roster. There were two Hawkeyes on the Rams roster. Don't know that either any of them played very much, if at all. It had nothing to do with that. I'm not a Bengals fan or a Rams fan. I don't care in that regard. And frankly, my wife and I didn't even watch most of the game. We were out doing something fun. I mean, I just can't take the 4 hours that you, I mean, for 4 hours beforehand now there's pregame shows. And then there's the actual pregame show for about another hour. I don't care about kneeling. Oh, by the way, what was with the kneeling at halftime? What an idiot. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to dignify it. But anyway, okay, there's a penalty late in the game. Bengals had the lead. And, you know, Logan Wilson, it was a fantastic play. He did not, it was not interference, it was not holding. It's just, I don't get it. I don't get the call. But I do get what Devondre Campbell said. Hawkeye Mike messaged me the person's name. I'm not saying it out loud. I will not glorify the person who kneeled, whatever, at halftime. Anyway, Logan Wilson made a brilliant play on it. Devondre Campbell said it best. The assumption is that, you know, a linebacker can't hang with a wide receiver. You know, in college scenarios, that's absolutely true. Now, some are that good. But at the pro level, I'm sorry. It's doable. It happens all the time. Linebackers are very capable of covering wide receivers in the flat or whatever. It was a terrible call. But here's the other thing. You know, there are certain things that are reviewable, certain things that aren't. And it just it takes the fun out of it when it's a penalty like that. I mean, you know, ticky-tack fouls in the NCAA tournament or in the NBA finals, same thing. Now, you know, you'd have to go back and view every play-by-play, and who wants to do that, to see how they called other similar plays. It becomes interpretation. Now, there are certain scenarios where they can review a pass interference. That's not one of them, but I forgot how it went, but there is a scenario where they can review that. Most penalties aren't reviewable anymore other than like targeting or whatever. But I mean, at a certain point, either A, let them play or don't, but be consistent. Number one, I mean, replay itself has become a problem. How many times did we see plays that got overturned, and then when you look at the rule, it was an interpretation of overturning the rule. I mean, it wasn't even an interpretation of the rule anymore. It became an interpretation of what if or what could have happened or what might have happened. I mean, you see replays of fumbles that happen in an absolute pileup. There's no way they can see what's happening, but they spend the time to review them, and then they sometimes overturn them. We saw several catches that were overturned in the college football season. We saw targets that didn't get called as much as we saw targets that were called. You know, I'm still steamed, I admit it, about the Citrus Bowl where Wandale Robinson went off being injured. They incurred a penalty, and then he came back on. They did not run a play. It should have been a penalty, illegal substitution. They're just not consistent anymore. I mean, we don't want drones officiating our games. But if officiating gets worse, it might come to that. And at that point, sports becomes dead. I mean, football becomes dead if you have that. Now, I don't think that, you know, many thought the game would die in college when college players got paid. They don't get paid by the schools. They make deals for name, image, and likeness. And there's nothing wrong with that. I wasn't in favor of it at first. And I was shocked when an Iowa player's father felt the same way. He is not for it. But on balance, most of the kids have done good stuff. Most of the Iowa kids raised money for the university hospital, the children's hospital. But everybody said, well, when that happens, you'll see the game will end. So maybe not. I don't know. I shouldn't do the doomsday. But I am damn tired of it seems like every big high-level contest now, it's like ingrained that there has to be a bad call or a bad penalty or a – it's gotten out of control. I mean, it's just, that was a bad call. It really was. Are we even going to pretend that China isn't cheating at this Olympic thing? Or others, not just China. I mean, take the figure skating competition. Now, in the case of the Chinese, you've had people get disqualified post-race. You've had people get disqualified during ski stuff and other stuff. And suddenly a Chinese person competitor is elevated to the medal stand, in some cases a gold medal. But the worst, this Russian figure skater tests positive for a banned substance, but is allowed to continue competing. Pretty sure, like in the Summer Olympics, it's not Russia competing. It's like individuals under some unified flag or whatever they call it. Because Russia keeps getting banned for doping. They're still doping. I thought they stopped doing that in the 80s. They're still doping. They're just getting caught at it. They're getting worse at it. But are we going to pretend now that there's no cheating and just go along with it? Now, I know a lot of you probably aren't watching the Olympics. I'm certainly not watching much of it. I'm just turning on highlights for stuff. I wish that I could watch, you know, the alpine skiing and the biathlon, which is cross-country skiing with the shooting, or the cross-country skiing. And, you know, as to figure skating, I should have just shut up because I don't watch that. Not because I don't like watching. They're athletes. They are athletes and they are talented. But it's subjective. It is subjective. I remember my mom told me back when Nancy Kerrigan, I think she got the gold or the bronze or the silver, I don't remember what. My mom knew a figure skating judge who had said, "Oh no, they've discussed it beforehand. They've Oksana Baiul is going to get the gold. They sort of established that going in." What? That's why I don't watch that stuff. It's subjective. It's not. You know, skiing. You know, it's a clock. Cross-country skiing, they're racing each other. You know, track and field, swimming, it's a race. You can see it. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, I love watching a Shaun White on the half pipe. Great stuff. But, I mean, it's already had controversy. You've already had people, commentators, et cetera, saying, that's all that guy got for that run? Not Shaun White, another half piper. Or a snowboarder, might not have been half pipe. But I mean, literally, when they're coming right out on TV during the sportscast and saying that's a terrible, you know, those judges are nuts. That's why you can't take that part of it seriously. That's why I follow races. I mean, you know, ski jumping, you know, they measure, you know how far someone jumped. Plus, if you're lucky, you get a good wipeout. I mean, let's face it. After the Wide World of Sports way back when, with that guy, the agony of defeat. Admit it. That's why we watch ski jumping. We want to see that next wipeout. But are we going to pretend now that the on the judgment side, on the subjective side, that there's no cheating anymore? I mean, that's why people stop watching. They don't stop watching because people don't stop watching because America isn't good. People don't stop watching because we're not good at soccer. And that's not the point. Like Hawkeye Mike just texted, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. That was cool, watching that guy wipe out on television. But, I mean, if we're going to have stuff where people are just judged, what's the point after a certain, you know, what is the point? I mean, gymnastics, again, don't get me wrong, these are all athletes. And at some point, somebody's got to be able to judge them. But when it becomes, you know, where the commentators are openly saying that's terrible officiating, that's terrible scoring, that's when we will lose viewership. That's when we will lose support. I mean, track and field, people talk about, oh, they're doping. You know what? They probably all are. I hate to say that. I hate to even think that, but you face it. They probably all are. I mean, the 1988 Olympic 100-meter final. There's a movie on ESPN, not a movie, an ESPN special on 30 for 30 called 9.79. That was the winning time that Ben Johnson ran before he was disqualified. Every single person in that final, eight competitors in that final, every single one of them had tested positive for a banned substance at some point, including Carl Lewis. Now, in some cases, they throw out their sample and they check whether it was you know, whether it was a valid sample or whatever. But all eight of them had tested positive at some point. That's kind of sad. You hate thinking that that's the case, but it's the case. Hawkeye Mike just texted me, who can forget Jim McKay with "They're All Gone" at the 1972 Olympics at Munich? I just rewatched it again one day in September. I'm still almost 50 years later, steamed that it took until last year at the Tokyo Olympics for an official moment of silence at the Olympics for those Israeli athletes. But I'll never forget Jim McKay. They're gone. They're all gone. But so that's what's happening, though. We're literally making, I mean, we're ignoring doping. Don't get me started on the transgenders competing. That's so messed up. Steve Dace is right. It's a mental disease. It is a mental disease. He said it right here, July 31st, 2019. It's a mental disease. But we're not seeing that in the Olympics. I mean, I guess we did have that one weightlifter from New Zealand last year who didn't even medal, didn't even make the finals, I don't think. That's, you know, in the Olympic terms, that's nothing. I mean, it's becoming a problem in college sports, no doubt. It's already a problem in high school sports in Connecticut. But that's, you know, on the grand scheme of things, that's not the big problem at the Olympic level. The big problem is subjectiveness going overboard, that it becomes so subjective. Problem again is doping not being punished. I mean, a Russian figure skater tests positive and is still competing. And the disqualifications. I mean, it's like three people get disqualified so that the two Russians or the two Chinese make the finals. Okay. And of course, that was on review. They reviewed that. I don't know. It's going to reach that point. It is going to reach that point where people just, you know, stop, give it up. Okay, folks, I am done for the night. I know I scheduled it for 2 hours, but I didn't schedule 2 hours worth of stuff because I just didn't. I mean, and some of it's just, I'm reaching the point where some of this news stuff is just like enough to tear your hair out. It really is. But again, as I said earlier, we're going to have to take it back. We are. We are going to have to be the ones that throw the bricks. We are going to have to be the ones that bear our arms, keep them. You're going to have to be the ones that, you know, when people get, you know, it's not enough, as an example, to vote out a Nancy Pelosi. It's not enough to say, well, Barack Obama's, I mean, when they get caught in stuff, they have to be prosecuted. They have to be held accountable. I mean, knowing what happened to the Trump campaign during that time, why are none of those people facing any issues right now? I mean, I know Durham is just releasing some of this stuff. I know media is still ignoring it. But are we going to see people, Democrats, wanting him out? I mean, there were Republicans who said this man tried to subvert the process. And Republicans held him accountable. Ooh, Boyd makes a good point. You know, when the girls are lining up and don't dive in, let Big Dave do it. When you're racing against a boy, because in Connecticut, you're literally racing against a boy in high school. Some reason, somehow, somebody has this twisted notion that a boy or a man can say, I'm a female, and run against them, compete against them. And all those people that pushed for Title IX, too many of them anyway, aren't up in arms about it. What the hell? As I said, folks, that's it for tonight. It's been fun. Thanks for being here. I want to thank Holger that was here earlier, Boyd, Indy Hawk, Annie in the chat room, Big Sister, Sue, T. Bodie, Mike was on earlier. A couple numbers that came up I did not recognize. One person had a hand up. I think I've sort of gone with this. I'm on here by myself, so to speak. I'm not like with Vito and Al or others that have two people. So I can't screen a call. I don't want to just turn on music haphazardly and screen a call. But if I don't recognize a number at all, I'm not going to take it probably. So if you're going to call in and I don't recognize, come into the chat room and say so. Maybe, or do something, because, yeah, we've had a couple of those creepy calls where people ask if you can do this to yourself or do that. We had the guy that called Al a couple weeks ago and just went on and on and didn't let Al talk. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to, you know, we're going to have to figure it out, but it'll get figured out. But for right now, if you were calling in, it was area code 217. If you were calling in and wanted to talk and I didn't take your call, I am sorry if you had something serious to say. But if you were just one person that was going to ask if I could do whatever, no, then no. We don't need trolls. We just don't. I'm a bad enough troll just on here for an hour and a half to 2 hours every Wednesday. So, okay, folks, it's been fun. The Olympics are finishing up. So you got that. You got some good college basketball. Iowa takes on Michigan tomorrow night. Probably like a little bit of payback for that Big Ten championship football game, no doubt. But the Hawkeyes go tomorrow night, and then they go Saturday against Ohio State. Why? Because it's a game that's being made up. Okay, we got a caller. I'm just going to take this call. 907, you're on the Hank Jones Poly Sports Show. What's your name?
Hey, 907, this is Alaska calling. Hey, this is Boyd. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Boyd. How's it going, man?
Oh, not too bad. Yeah, I was just calling because I missed out on what you had to say about my comment about the girls just not starting.
Oh, I thought that was brilliant. I thought it was a brilliant answer. Just get in the blocks or on the whatever they call it in swimming, on the block, I guess. And don't you know, line up, but just don't go. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Did you just come up with that just now, or?
No, I thought about it a couple, 3 or 4 days ago, you know, when Leah Thompson, or whatever her name was.
Will, I call it Will Leah Thompson.
You know, I just said, hell, girls should just get on the blocks, and when the gun goes off, just stay on the blocks.
Well, you know, there's a letter from 16, I think, of his teammates that said this has got to stop. You know, the school came out with an official thing, but the teammates said this has got to stop. I don't know if you've heard this. There's a problem in the locker room in that Will Thompson, not Leah Thompson, Will Thompson still has the stuff attached and is hanging out in the girls' locker room, giving everyone a little glimpse. And then has also talked about how, quote unquote, she, whatever, is still interested in girls.
Yeah.
I mean, and nobody sees a problem. I mean, that there's a university system and there's a whole swim team or a part of the swim team that sees no problem. What have we come to?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You know, the girls, you know, per Title IX should not be competing against them. And if I was the girls, you know, I mean, I don't know how they would do this or get the word passed out, but just say that, you know, there ain't no sense in busting our ass. You know, we'll just stay here, let him finish his race, and then we'll go in. Or say, you know, screw you guys.
Yep. I mean, you know, if their own team is going to accept it, whatever, the school's, you know, accepting it. But I mean, if you know, if you're on another team that's competing, how valued do you feel as a swimmer for any university, let alone Pennsylvania? How valued do you feel as a swimmer if your coach is saying, line up and go to it, you know, accept it?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the other thing with Will Leah.
It sounds better when I hear someone else say it. That's good.
I heard somewhere or saw someplace where he got beat.
Yes.
And he got beat by another trans.
Yes. Correct.
Which I thought was just fantastic. But the thing was, is that as far as I'm concerned, you know, the girls could even launch off the, you know, launch off their stands. And then, you know, just when they're done with their dive, turn around and just everybody go back.
Yep, exactly. I mean, that, some of them would, you know, that's the thing. Here's the twisted part of it. They would be punished. You know, they would have their scholarships taken away, probably. I mean, that's what's so upsetting about it, as far as I'm concerned. It's just, but yeah, you know, there's even speculation, Boyd, that was a setup. That Will Leah Thomas purposely tossed that race because it was another trans. It was to show that Will Leah Thomas isn't unbeatable or something, and it's just absurd.
Yeah, well, you know, what was his, he couldn't rank in the top 400 of the men's,
yeah,
or something to that
yeah.
point.
I mean, yeah, like the top 400, 200, 400, wherever. But and is also, here's the other thing, swimming events that he was never good at, but now excelling at as a woman. In other words, he was, I don't know, a distant, you know, like 200 or 400 meters or whatever, but he's excelling in sprints.
Yeah.
You know, at other events. Well, what does that tell you? That just kind of right there says it all. I mean, it's just
yeah.
right there. You know, I mean, if that's not a glaring clue.
Yeah, but I would love to see the fact all the girls, you know, whenever they line up for a race or a swimming match or something where they're put up against the trans, just, you know, from all the schools, all the competitors, when that person enters the race, just not do it.
Yep,
but
exactly.
Just not do the race.
Just
But I would say that it would be, you know, be a more dramatic statement if they all lined up in the box to race.
Yeah.
And when the start goes, just don't do anything. Stand up and walk away.
Yep. Stand up in the blocks or better yet, stay kneeling, like in a track race, stay kneeling, you know,
well,
go back to a kneel. I mean, I guess they wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, go back to the kneel and just you know, stay there.
Yeah, I think that would be perfect. I'm going to tweet that. Are you on Twitter by any chance or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to tweet it. I'm going to tweet it out, and I'm going to give you credit. So I'm just going to say, you know what, swimmers that are disgusted by this, stay on your knee. Don't. Launch. Get in the starting blocks, but don't launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think that's perfect. Definitely.
That would be one hell of a statement.
Yep. And we'd have to see if they, you know, if they get castigated for it. That's the only thing.
You know, so. That would be a hard thing, but you know, it's like what was it, that girl in Connecticut, you know, she was the fastest girl in Connecticut and couldn't win that race against that one guy or two guys that were in a race, and she didn't get the place, period.
Yeah
And she was the fastest girl in Connecticut, you know. She was even the first to cross the line.
And then,
you know, yeah. So.
It's sad. It really is sad. Hey, I was looking at some of your stuff. So you don't eat venison, caribou, or moose? Or you?
Oh, no. That was Annie wanting me to bring down. I said,
oh,
after
okay.
She said what she'd cook for dinner, she, and I said I have pork, we'll travel, and she invited me down bringing some salmon and
oh, okay.
venison. Well, venison, you know, they're 90-pound animals, you know, when you
yeah.
get them dressed out.
Yeah, exactly.
Caribou and moose, you know, you get a couple
yeah.
hundred pounds of meat out of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
Oh, okay, so you're just eating skimpering. Okay. So, Annie, that's why. It wasn't that caribou and moose aren't good enough. They're just it's just too much of it. So, yeah, I've never
yeah.
had moose. I'd
yeah.
love it. I, from what I understand, it's fantastic. So anyway. Hey, boy,
yeah.
I got to run.
I haven't.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
you bet.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You were saying something.
No, go ahead. No, I was just going to say I haven't had moose for a while yet, for a while
oh, okay.
either, because
okay.
It's just too much work. I mean, it's fun to go out and shoot a moose or caribou or something, but then the work begins, and it's just
yeah.
like I'm getting lazy in my old age.
Hey, speaking of which, I've been listening to a podcast on iHeartRadio called Missing in Alaska, and it's about the plane crash with Hale Boggs and, was it Nick Begich?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you listened to that?
Yep.
You have listened to it? Interesting stuff.
No, I haven't probably seen that one, but... when I was stationed in Fairbanks, I was put on alert status to go pound the ground out there if they got something.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm pretty much aware of what
yeah, I'm just,
what was
it's,
going
it's
on.
Fascinating and, to, it's fascinating to hear what's happening because this guy, I mean, there was speculation that the mob did it, and then there was speculation that Hoover did it. Hoover had it done, although Hoover was already dead by the time it happened, but... Yeah, I mean, there were all kinds of speculation
yeah.
as to who did it, but.
Well,
so, anyway.
Tell you the honest to God truth, I've made that flight, you know, a few times and once in a plane similar to what they were in.
Uh-huh.
And on the way down, we lost an engine. So
yeah,
it was an interesting time. And,
yeah.
you know, out there, you know, my speculation really is that they went into water.
Yeah.
And everything went down. No wreckage to the surface. And if it did, that area of the ocean is so treacherous.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the weather conditions were or anything, but that... that ocean doesn't give up or dead easy.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
yeah, I think, yeah, probably somebody just making more out of it. But, yeah, it was just an interesting podcast to listen to it. I mean, it's like 10 parts on iHeartRadio. If you go to iHeartRadio, and it's called Missing in Alaska. So,
well, you know, that was before a lot of the safety gear came out
yeah.
with locator beacons and all that stuff.
Right.
And going out there to try and put a visual on things, speculate where they were and all of that. It's
yeah.
just a super, you know, super hard thing. And this is
sure.
a search that didn't come up, that came up with nothing.
Yeah.
And it's not,
I mean,
like we haven't had a lot of them.
Yeah, and yeah, it's unforgiving country, as they say. So it's not like everything just is easy to find. So anyway,
yeah.
Well, hey,
and then,
thanks.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you were saying something. Go ahead. I was going to say thanks for the call, but you had something more to say.
No,
so.
Well, we had one of our famous bush pilots up here. He didn't go missing, but earlier, you know, quite a few years before this incident happened, a military aircraft went down, and here some guys chartered him, and they wanted to for him to take them over to that where that crash site was, and he refused to do it, you know, because they were going after treasures and stuff like that, and the military hadn't even gotten in there yet to pick up stuff. And you know, it's just like all of a sudden something will pop up every once in a while and put it into a mystery, and then there's a lot of times where it's still a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not everything has an explanation. I mean, we always want one, but not everything has one. So.
Yep.
Well, Boyd, thanks for the call.
Anyway,
thanks for being on, and enjoyed it. And,
you bet.
And have a good weekend, man.
Yeah.
And be safe out there. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's.
I will.
Are you still?
And,
you know, you're in colder country. That's for sure.
Well, it's not so cold right now. We've got freezing rain, and maybe it'll cool off, and that freezing rain will turn back to snow. So.
Yeah. When does your 24 hours
anyway.
Of daylight start? When does your 24 hours of daylight start? Is that like in June that you get that?
Yeah, but let's see. From I think we're gaining about five and a half minutes of daylight now. We're up to something like
almost 9 hours.
Hang on.
We're at 9 hours and some odd minutes.
Yeah. I guess right now we're getting 9 hours and some odd minutes.
Oh, that's
daylight.
Not too bad. That's not that bad.
No, no.
So
well,
cool.
You gotta go.
Stay safe, Boyd. And thanks again for calling.
I will. Okay. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later.
Good show. Thanks.
Good. Thanks. That is Boyd, the Alaskan. He pops in on the Global Patriot Radio Network often. Fun guy, contributes a lot to the discussions. And as I said, his suggestion for the female competitors was brilliant. Just don't do it. Do not do it. Just line up. Don't race. Let them start. And then let the man run, whatever. You know, I mean, it's just creepy. It's very creepy. Okay, folks, thank you. I have had a great time and a great call from Boyd. I want to thank Boyd, of course, and Bringing It Boy and Annie Southern Sense. Indy Hawk was in earlier, Holger. And we had Sue and my big sister and Mike. And a number I didn't recognize at all. T. Bodie was in, listening in as well. We've talked about some crazy stuff. And of course we've got our resident comedian in Washington with AOC coming up with explanations for stuff as to why we have inflation and what explains the increase in crime. And it's, like I said, we have to look at it as comedy, because if we're going to think it deeper, person that's serving in office in Washington, representing from somewhere, it's scary, but it's also funny. So come back next week, 5:30. And again, don't forget, Mondays, 6 o'clock Eastern, Vito and Big Al. Tuesdays, Eric with the Cross and the Crescent. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie, revealing the truth about Islam. And then Sunday, Eric is back with the Real Interfaith Dialogue. Also, check out Annie, Southern Sense Radio, here on Fridays and other days as well. I know, I just don't remember all those days. Tim Tapp, Tap Into the Truth. Dave and Jeeski Rock Show on Fridays, and then Holger is getting back into the mix, having his show. Joseph Gibson's got a good show, a couple different nights. Chief with Simple Life, I think it is. Joseph Gibson is Understanding the Times We Live In. Check all those out. Come into Blog Talk Radio and just look around. You get stuff that might not be interesting, but you have other stuff that is. There's a lot of good stuff going on out there. Give them a listen. And in the meantime, we will see you back here next week, 5:30 Eastern Time. Thank you for being here on Hank Jones Poly Sports. have fun, be safe, and as the guy in Spinal Tap said, have a good time all the time. Talk to you later, folks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And, of course, let's not forget Sue from New Mexico. I don't remember if I mentioned her, but Sue's been on listening in. So have a good one, folks.